Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This week on RDP, it's Indie Galore. We discuss the awesome world of Bastion, then we talk about the stress-inducing rhythm game Thumper. After that, we dive into the newsroom and then answer some of your questions. And this week, they are some deep questions. So turn up the volume in your car, headphones, or wherever you're listening. This is Real Dudes Podcast. Today we have got an awesome show for you, although it might be a mini show because the only person I have joining with me today is none other than Carrington.
Hey, hey, hey.
We have a indie-filled show for you. We're going to discuss Bastion and Thumper and then a few other things regarding the newsroom and also answer some of your questions that you sent to us you know, via Twitter or email. So we're excited to get into this. But Carrington, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Summer started at work, which means, because I work at a school system, means the real physical stuff happens now. So I am exhausted. I feel pretty good.
So like lifting weights and stuff?
All day, every day, son. And I know this has nothing to do with gaming, but you know this about me, but our audience has no idea. So the Foo Fighters new song came out today, and I am ecstatic. And so if there are any Foo Fighters fans out there, definitely check it out before. Or not before. Just go. Just go right now.
What does that have to do anything with the school system?
Oh, nothing. I was talking about just stuff that's happened this week.
That makes sense. Yes. It's great. Dave Grohl is a legend, and anything he touches usually turns out to be fantastic.
I wholeheartedly agree. Like, I'm not a huge country guy, but he even did a song with the Zac Brown Band, mm-hmm. and he was on drums, and I still check that stuff out and still impressed. And
yeah,
Zac Brown Band, I've been a fan of Zac Brown Band because of it too.
And I think, like, this is totally off topic, but I think, you know, you think of legendary musicians and stuff like Jimi Hendrix and Paul McCartney and whatnot. Paul McCartney's still alive, and they're definitely these huge music icons. I think Dave Grohl fits in with those people. Like, it's so cool just to see this guy blow up and become this modern day legend in music. I don't know. He's just awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah. He's the kind of guy too that just, he can fit into almost any genre of music, which not a lot of people can do either. And so I think that's also quite impressive.
Yeah, most definitely. Speaking of really good music, the game Supergiant's Bastion has really good music.
Dank transition. So please tell me about Bastion. I've always wanted to play it.
Okay. So I think we all had a discussion recently that we would slightly change gears with the show and focus more on indie games. So I pulled out a list of games that I've been wanting to play, and Bastion is one of them, and I'm glad I picked it. It is fantastic. It's opens up with you as the kid who is the protagonist laying on a bed, and the narration kicks in immediately, and the guy that does the voice acting for the narration really I think he makes the game. It's just, it plays such a strong part in the storytelling. It's comical and serious and just really sets the tone for the story and the game itself.
So, have you finished it yet?
No. I think I am about 3/4 through it right now. So the game is broken up into, I don't want to say like platforms. So, okay. Let me just break it down.
Okay.
Basically, the ecology and the areas of the world have been destroyed. And while exploring these different levels, you come across these crystals that allow you to power up the Bastion. And what the Bastion is this place of refuge for when bad things happen. These cores allow you to add new land masses, which allow you to add more items and remove items from your character. And it's basically kind of like building your own small town.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's better if you were to see it, it would be a little bit easier to explain.
Fair enough.
So basically you're building this place where you, is like a safe haven for yourself. The game really stands out with the combat. It flows nicely. It's your typical hack slash. It's challenging. It's not just you get one enemy. Multiple enemies will flood the screen, and you have to kind of back away and roll. You have different weapons that you can cycle through. I think they start you out with a hammer, but it really kind of just... you have a lot of variation of different weapons. You got a hammer, bow, katana. It's a repeater gun, which shoots multiple arrows, kind of like a... it's not a bow and arrow, but...
Like a crossbow?
Yes, like a crossbow. That's what I was thinking. And then there's some more that I haven't unlocked yet. The game is just, it's just such a solid game. I haven't run into any bugs or anything. It's so smooth. The level designs are unique and creative. Basically, you transport or teleport through the skyway. And so in the Bastion, you jump on this platform and it shoots you into the air. And then you go into this another area or world or land where you have to go get the crystals for your Bastion. And so the way that the world opens up while you're at these little areas is little tiles will come floating up. So as you walk, you know, the world becomes more open to you. Different pathways you can explore, and then enemies are constantly attacking you too. It's a great game. A lot of fun.
Well, I have it on Steam. I think it might be downloaded on my PC also. I just haven't had the time to pick it up. So how much time would you say you've spent in it so far? And at the moment, how would you rate it?
Maybe like 6 hours. I think the game is about a 7 hour game or so. So okay. Maybe 5 or 6 hours.
That's not too bad.
But it's more if you are, you know, trying to get 100% it. You could go straight through and do the levels, and I think you'd beat it in 6 hours, but there's also challenges that you can do. Mm-hmm. So with each weapon that you unlock, there's various challenges. With the bow and arrow, you get set up on this little area, and you have to shoot maybe like 20 balloons with a limited amount of arrows. So you have to pop all the balloons with like... you know, 10 arrows or something, I'd say. If you get 10 arrows, then you get a bronze prize. I'd say if you do like 7 arrows, it's a silver, and I think 5 arrows or 6 arrows is a gold prize. And so you unlock those prizes, which add different elements to your weapons and then just materials that you use in the game. As far as rating the game...
Yes, at the moment, at this point in time.
What kind of rating system are we even using?
Are we still using the beer system, or are we using something else now?
We'll stick with the beer system. Is that the official rating system that we use?
I think so. I mean, it seems to work.
Yeah, all right. Let me think here. I think if I were to rate it, it would be a crisp IPA. It's bright and vibrant and kind of just brings you to life.
Oh, I like the comparison.
Yeah, and one other thing about it, the music. So Darren Korb is the composer for Bastion, and he also did Transistor, and it is such a cool soundtrack. It's a different take on your typical fantasy music.
Okay.
But it adds like modern electronic mix to it. And then there's also kind of like Middle Eastern sounds, and it's very, very full of life. And I think he did a fantastic job with it. I wanted to play Transistor kind of side by side with it just to compare the two games that Supergiant did. And I've only played maybe an hour of Transistor. And again, he did the music for that, and it is just it. Those games maybe have the best soundtracks out of any game that I've played. They're just catchy, and I don't know. They're awesome. Really, really good.
And I will say too, like, so my brother, we were talking about Bastion and Transistor, and I had asked him, like, have you ever played them? He's like, no, but I know the music. So I think that says a lot about how good this music is. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm definitely going to pick up Bastion and probably watch a playthrough of Transistor.
Yeah. I have Transistor on my phone. Sadly, I don't have PlayStation. I guess I could probably play it on Steam, but I don't have a Steam account set up. And I almost feel like the atmosphere in that game sticks out to me more than the atmosphere in Bastion. It's more like futuristic and robotic, and it's a completely different style than Bastion. But like I said, both games are excellent, and they play very well, and the combat in it is awesome. They're working on another game too.
Yes, they are.
Should be Pyre
soon, I think, sometime this year, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think it'd be out this summer. I haven't looked at it too much, but as far as I know, there is either co-op or multiplayer integrated into this one, which will be neat to see.
I wholeheartedly agree, because I remember we were talking about the trailer earlier today, and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, pretty neat. And yeah, I mean, check it out. Bastion is getting a vinyl. I don't know if it's out yet, but the music from the game is going to be pressed onto vinyl, which I'm really looking forward to because I like to collect records.
So that'd be another one to add to your collection?
Yep, most definitely. I want to pick up Transistor too. I think Jake picked up Shovel Knight, and I listened to that soundtrack recently, and it's pretty cool too.
Yeah, the Shovel Knight soundtrack is fantastic. I've never played it before, and then got it on my Switch, and it was hard to break away from that game. But when I got Zelda, I mean,
yeah,
I think that says it all.
That's understandable, most definitely. Speaking of music, I have never been stressed out so hard other than when I started watching Thumper.
Oh, yes, Thumper. So I'm going to give you a little history about Thumper real quick before talking about it. So it recently came out on the Switch, and I had never heard of it, so I went ahead and picked it up because I heard good things about it. Now, it came out a couple years ago on the PS4 and PC, so in a sense, it's not really a new game, but it's new to me, and it's new for anyone who hasn't played it, and it's on the Nintendo Switch for like $20. So the way they describe it, they call it a rhythm violent game. So you're this beetle on a single track, and then like these like light orbs come at you, and you have to like pretty much jump on top of them, on these orbs, at the right time. And then there's also other things, like there's twists and turns, and then there's also, what else is there? Oh, there's these like barriers you have to like crush through and stuff, but it's all to a rhythm, and the soundtrack to that is amazing. Like, I would highly recommend, like, if you don't even want to buy it, just like listen to the music, because it goes so well and it's so catchy.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up some videos and reading some articles, and that genre, rhythm violent, it caught me off guard, because I was wondering, it's like, well, it's a rhythm game,
right?
So how is there action in it or anything? And then they were explaining, you know, well, the soundtrack, it's stressful, like it really makes you feel on nerve, like I don't know, shoot your nerves, I guess. It makes you feel shot.
It invokes that definite emotion,
shock
for sure.
Feeling. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's creative for, you know, a game where you're really just controlling this beetle
on a platform through levels, trying to hit certain checkpoints, as you would say, to stimulate that kind of emotion out of you.
Yeah, I agree. And the way the game itself is set up, I haven't beaten it yet. It is pretty difficult, I will say that. There's probably 8 or 9 levels. I don't remember how many I counted. But within each level, there are stages. And every level, so like level 1 has like 10 stages or something like that. And then level 2 has like probably 30 stages. And level 3, like
wow.
Each level has more stages as you progress. And at the end of each level, there's a boss that you have to defeat. And the boss throws all kinds of things at you. And I must say that they do a really good job with the bosses because they are really hard and challenging. But at the same time, it's like, once you get it, it's like, oh, that's so simple. Because I redid, because I was showing it off to someone. So I redid level 1 for somebody. And, you know, I went through it just like that. But going through it, trying to learn that rhythm and trying to learn the pattern, it was really difficult, though. I will say that. And, like, it runs really well both in docked and handheld mode. So it's easy to just pick it up and play. Because with the Switch, you know, both those are very important to look at. And the game runs I haven't looked into it, but I believe it's 60 frames a second because it is so smooth. If it's 30, it is a very smooth 30 frames a second.
Do you think it's required, or would you highly recommend playing this game with headphones?
Yes, very much so, because the way the music, once you figure out, like, so when, I don't know how to describe it, there are certain sound cues, so you know a certain obstacle is coming up. So if you want to really hear those sound cues, headphones works best. And then, like, there's just, I don't know, the music. It's all about music. So, you know, if you are on just like a TV or something, you're going to hear, you know, a lot of the music and stuff, but I don't think you feel it, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. how would you rate it?
How would I rate it? That's a very good question. Cause I very much, you know, it's just, see, I
got you in a tongue tie.
You did. So I don't know my beers super well. So
maybe do a mixed drink. I almost feel like this game would be a mixed drink if it were any kind of, you know, beverage.
Oh, for sure. If I were to go for a mixed drink, probably like a Long Island iced tea. You know, it's very relaxing. But if you know, it can be a pretty strong drink, so it can kind of hit you too.
Okay.
But but at the same time, it's very like relaxing drink, you know.
And okay, so I'll go ahead
with Thumper. Like I can sit back and just chill. But I am glued to the TV. You know what I mean? So it definitely grabs your attention.
Okay. So with it also being like a stressful game, are there chill moments in it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So like towards the beginning of each stage, it goes kind of light on how the difficulty, and then it slowly ramps up. And then also the transitions between each stage, it does give you a small breather as well.
Okay. Well, sounds cool. I was definitely thrown off by it. I saw that you wanted to talk about the game, and so I started doing research on it, and I immediately thought of like a psychedelic trip when I saw it.
Oh, for sure.
So it looks super cool. Sure.
And yeah. It is. Oh, and also I must say, so props to some of the indie developers out there, including Drool. They're the ones who made Thumper, because they are really taking advantage of that HD rumble that the Switch offers. And I must say too, the HD rumble is much more effective in the Joy-Cons than the Pro Controller. And you definitely notice it in Thumper, because so those barriers I was talking about earlier, when you hit them, there's a certain like beat and rhythm to it, and sometimes they make certain sounds when you hit them, and when you right. hit when they're like it's a like a lower sound, the Joy-Cons have like a real deep, I don't know, rumble to it. I don't know how to explain it. They go it rumbles with the sound, so even when it's like a high pitched sound, I don't know how to describe it. It has a high pitched rumble. I don't know.
Yeah, it just like. Yeah, I think I understand. Kind of like a lighter rumble, like
Like, I don't even know how to describe it because it goes with the pitch, and I don't know how they pulled it off, but it works fantastically.
Here's the real question. Do you think Nintendo has nailed the next generation of Rumble controllers?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The only problem is, like I said, you can feel it more on the Joy-Cons than the Pro Controller. Mm-hmm. The Pro Controller has HD Rumble, but I can't feel those different, like, levels of vibration. Like, it, like when I was saying, like, it deeper sounds have, like, a lower type.
Yeah.
Rumble to it. I don't feel it nearly as much in the Pro Controller compared to the Joy-Cons.
When you say deeper, would it be like a heavier rumble? Like,
yeah,
feels like there's more weight to it.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting it. It's hard to explain unless you feel it yourself.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. So Thumper is a Long Island iced tea.
Yes, sir.
What do we got in the newsroom this week?
So Monster Hunter was announced for the Switch. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a huge Monster Hunter guy, which I wish Jake was here to talk about it because he's a huge Monster Hunter guy.
Yeah.
I've only played one Monster Hunter, and come to find out when I talked to Jake about it, he's like, yeah, it has that one that you played has one of the higher, like,
dislikes, like
not dislikes. It has a high learning curve.
Which one did you play?
The one on the Wii U. Okay. Monster Hunter Tri, I think, or something like that.
So I played the one for PS2, and I absolutely loved it. And then I played the one for the Wii, and I absolutely did not love it.
Maybe they just missed the bar with that one. Because the Monster Hunter Tri on the Wii U is a remake of the Wii version.
Yeah.
But I will say I am excited for this particular one, though. Just because how it looks, it's a remake of the 3DS version. It's Monster Hunter Double Cross, I think, is what they're officially calling it.
Yep. I don't have a Switch, and I think I might save up and pick it up for this and Zelda. I think those two games are what will kind of win my heart over for it for the time being.
Fair enough. And this fall, we're going to get a lot more stuff, too. So yeah. That'll be exciting.
I can't wait to see what E3 has in store.
Oh, yes. I think Nintendo has some stuff waiting for us, like some pretty big stuff. But let's get into that another time.
Yeah. Something real quick about it that I thought was cool is that the save files from your 3DS can transfer to the Switch, and then your save files from your Switch can transfer back to your 3DS.
Yes.
And that's really neat.
I think that's brilliant on Nintendo's part.
Yeah.
Now, if you start a new file on the Switch, you cannot transfer it to the 3DS. You can only do it if it's original on 3DS. Can you swap back and forth? Okay. I was reading that.
Okay. Well, very cool. Yeah, it sounds like a great game to cross over, and it definitely has my attention.
Likewise. And with this announcement, Nintendo stock reached over $2 billion, which is insane. So just from this announcement, it reached higher levels than when Pokemon Go was out.
That is insane.
And quite impressive, just to show you how popular this game is, especially in the Asian market. It's not that big over here compared to the Asian market, but I mean, this is huge for Nintendo and the Switch.
And I guess since you're talking about that market, I don't know if you just mentioned that, but Double Cross is releasing in Japan only at the moment, right?
Yeah.
For the Switch.
So far, yeah. So okay. I think it'll have a Western release. It's just a matter of when.
Well, cool. So Xbox passes out. Will you get it? Why or why not?
So for those who don't know what it is, Xbox Game Pass is the answer to PlayStation's, I don't remember the service, but I liken it to Netflix for games.
Yep.
So the difference is the PS4 service, you can stream the games if you pay for the service. And it's just a set amount of games that come in and out every other month or however they see fit. And in Xbox Game Pass, you download the games. It's the full games. It's not a trial or anything like that. Like, this is the full games. And the reason why it's like Netflix is because it's a service. They add games in and take away games as they see fit.
Right. So basically, you want to beat the game before it goes out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's like $10 a month. So it's not too bad, I guess.
But
will I get it? At the moment, no. For $10 a month, the only thing I see worth it right now, because right now it's a bunch of indie games. I think there are 70 games on there, and I like probably 50 of them are indie games, and 20 are AAA titles, but they're mostly AAA titles I already own, so I wouldn't be necessarily saving any money. And all the indie titles, I think there's only two or three in there that I saw that I really wanted to play that I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but I don't have time to spend on it. So I'm just like, at the moment, it doesn't, I'm not going to get it, but I do see myself probably getting it sometime in the future based on what they put in there.
Even though you might not get it right now, there is a 14-day free trial that you could try.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is true. So you can always try out the service, which is, you know, see if it's for you or not.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to try that and see how it works. I definitely like the idea of it. It's, you know, it's not a bad price to get some games to play. There's something else that I was going to mention about it, but my brain just farted like it normally does.
While you recover, I will also mention the Xbox Live or Xbox Live Games with Gold. The June games were announced. So this month, for the first half, we have Assassin's Creed 3, Metal Gear Solid 5, I think. Phantom Dust?
No, that's Phantom Pain.
Phantom Pain. Oh, that's just Phantom Dust.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Okay. And Speedrunners, which is a small indie game. And then,
which looks really fun. I
have it on PC. It's fantastic. I would highly recommend it. Yes.
Can you group up with friends and play, or is it just random, whatchamacallit?
That's a good question. Like, I might be co-op, but I've only played solo, so I'd have to check into it. I don't know, honestly.
It looks stressful too.
Oh yes, yes. And it's all about timing and being perfect.
Yeah.
And then for the second half of June, we have Watch Dogs and Dragon Age. Okay. So look forward to all those games coming out that are free with Xbox Live.
Yep. What's going on with the emulator and Wii U?
So there's a Wii U emulator out there. It's called, I call it CEMU. That's how I pronounce it. It's CEMU. So right now, they raised a crap ton of money purely by fans and donations to try and get Zelda Breath of the Wild running on it. Now, keep in mind, it is a Wii U emulator, not a Switch emulator. Excuse me. So there was a huge update recently that where they have Breath of the Wild running basically near perfection, as if you are literally playing it from a Wii U, which is quite impressive when you think about how hard it is to emulate something, especially newer consoles. So I looked up the instructions and was researching on how to get this up and running. So I'm not going to tell you how, but basically it is.
I probably wouldn't even understand it.
It is a long, long list and a pretty lengthy instructions, and you do need somewhat beefy computer to run it.
Yeah.
So just keep those things in mind.
Okay.
If you were to try and do it yourself, just.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's
running. Basically, you're probably better off just buying a Wii U.
Yeah, pretty much. If you're that desperate, just if you have a Wii U or you have a friend that has a Wii U, or if you're thinking about getting a Switch in the future, just hold off on those things.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's running near perfection right now is a huge
impressive.
Breakthrough.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And Kyle, you found out this next thing about the Kerbal Space Program. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. I heard it today. Take-Two Interactive bought Kerbal Space Program. They are the parent to 2K Games and Rockstar, which is interesting because why would they buy a indie game?
That is, that is interesting. I can't, I mean, if they're going to make any updates, we'll see if what happens. But when you mentioned it, I was shocked.
Yeah. A lot of people are kind of scared, like, well, big wigs got Kerbal Space Program. Now it's just going to go all to crap. But I think it'll be interesting to see where they take the game. And it seems like the company that, you know, originally is working with Kerbal Space Program is super excited about this. And, you know, they still want to keep the game true to the hearts of those that have always loved the game and have been there from the start.
And I think Take-Two, at least in my opinion, they tend to take care of their games and all of their franchises. So I wouldn't be too scared. But I'm very interested to see what happens.
Yeah, me too. So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes from here. I guess the same thing happened with Minecraft. I mean, they were bought out from, you know, a big company, and it's still incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's still in the top 10, you know, sales on all, across all platforms. So, can't really complain.
Yep. Well, I guess that's it for the news.
Ba-da-ba. Should we take a small break, and then before you hit these listener questions?
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great suggestion. We'll take a break, and then we'll get right back to you lovely listeners.
Yeah.
We here on Real Dudes Podcast want to give a huge shout out to Guitar Man for letting us use his music for the intro and the outro of our show. Please feel free to follow him at I Am Guitar Man on Twitter, or check him out on SoundCloud for more of his music at Guitar Man. That is GITARUMAN. So we've got some listener questions for you.
And by the way, these questions are what, like a month old now, and we're finally getting to them.
Yeah. We've kind of had a sort of a rough month, I guess you could say, but we're glad to get to them. And you know, we encourage those that do listen, send us more questions, and we will get them on the air, and we'll talk about them and rant about them. You can email them to us at realdudespod@gmail.com or send them to us through Twitter. That's at realdudes_pod. And we'll, you know, we'll tuck them away in a safe location and bust them out and then in another episode.
Oh, yeah.
So the first question, there's two parts to it, but we'll break it up here. Comes from Dale Tripp on Twitter. His question is, should video games be allowed in schools?
So, I feel very strongly about the way our American school system is at the moment. And my opinion is, yes, video games should definitely be allowed in schools. But I'm not just talking about, like, any game. You know, like, I don't want to see, you know, Halo or Madden or Destiny. I don't want to see those in schools. That's not what I'm talking about here. In my opinion, I think something – and I don't – and, I mean, there's kind of video games in schools right now, but I don't really count them. They're, like, flash games, you know, made for kids and stuff. And I don't really count those. And I think we can do better as, you know – as a society. Gaming industry, as a society, we can definitely do better. And there are definitely games out there that are fantastic and great for learning. So I think Minecraft is a perfect example.
I was going to say that, just going off what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah. And there are some schools that have incorporated Minecraft into their learning curriculum also, which I think is fantastic. And I think most, if not all schools should incorporate something like Minecraft, because Minecraft teaches you on so many different levels. You know, you can teach, you know, simple math, simple programming, cooperation, you know, working together and creating things. And you can definitely work on a whole nother level and teach kids and teenagers on how to do some of these things, and that especially those that are interested in learning about this kind of stuff. And I think Minecraft also has the ability, especially on PC, you know, you can mod it and create, you know, adventures and things like that. And by doing those things, you can start building foundations for a lot of kids who maybe don't even know they're interested in these kinds of things. And there's certainly a need and a great career out there for people who want to do such things.
Yeah.
So I definitely think video games should be allowed in school, but I think that only certain ones should be allowed in schools. We shouldn't just allow any of them out there, because I don't think a lot of them, you know, most games, you know, teach hand-eye coordination, yada, blah, blah, blah. But I'm talking like the games themselves. What can they teach you? What's your take on it?
So I think games are a great way to learn and be used as a developmental tool. I remember I only went to public school for 3 years, and then I was homeschooled through the rest of my schooling.
So was I.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Neither did
I. But when I was in school, I remember playing like Oregon Trail, Schoolhouse Rock, and other things. Like in our computer lab, we would play games like those educational games. And I think there's definitely a place for them. And like you said, with Minecraft, I think that that would be an excellent example of a game to have in school. There's so many different things that you could do and kind of manipulate that game into being a game of teaching to help people learn various skills and whatnot. Something else that I really thought about and it kind of goes back to our episode where we talk about virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I think if they were to incorporate virtual reality into the school system, oh my goodness, the possibilities would be endless. Think about like writing a paper on historical events or different locations throughout the world. And if you could have programs set up on VR to be able to kind of put you into those situations or those places, and you could document that and make it into a paper, I think that'd be so neat. They talked about Chernobyl and how you can take a virtual tour of Chernobyl mm-hmm. through VR. I think that is such a cool idea. Personally, I was thinking like World War One, World War Two. Those are definitely heavy topics in school that is discussed. Like, could you virtually go to locations where these historical battles were taking place? Or if you were to go back, you know, to the Roman times and go back to giant battles then, or Caesar and what was his palace like, and you know, just there's, I think the possibilities are just endless with that. And if they were to put that in the school system, I think that would be an excellent tool for kids to learn off of.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, it's something that I've always thought was cool. Like, I would love to just put a headset on and I don't know, just take me back in time, almost like a virtual time travel.
Oh,
take
for
me back
sure,
in time
sure.
to some cool event that happened. Take me back to the Boston Tea Party. Let me sit there and just watch everything unfold. I think that would be super neat.
And I will say too, just because of the kind of person I am, I've played certain games that are maybe based on historical events or have had certain themes and things like that that have got me thinking. And it's caused me to research those things. So if you could mm-hmm. somehow incorporate that into schooling as well, I think would be great too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. Second part to the question, Dale asks, do video games influence behavior?
So this is a tricky thing to, I think, talk about. In my opinion, yes and no. And it's to me, it's a complicated question. I think in some ways, yes, because I think it's a great stress reliever. So if I'm like feeling really upset about something, or if maybe I'm, you know, feeling happy or anything like that. And, you know, there have been certain moments in video games that either help me to de-stress or feel certain emotions and cause me to maybe act a certain way or talk a certain way. Sure. Mm-hmm. But I do think that I don't think it was solely video games. I think as a society, we tend to blame video games for a lot of things. I think a person's environment certainly has more so of an influence.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that if you look at everything and not just video games, other types of media like TV shows and music and movies.
Books. Yeah.
Books. Yeah, exactly. I think all those things have a factor on a person's behavior, not just games. But I certainly do think it's a factor. But I don't think we should continue to blame video games for everything. So there's this lawyer out there. His name is Jack Johnson. I can't.
Musical artist.
What's that?
The guy that sings Banana Pancakes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But here's the thing. I can't call him a lawyer anymore because I recently found out he's not even a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Because
he writes music.
Because of his feelings on video games. He wants to, you know, strongly regulate them and ban them because he feels like that they are a huge influence.
Tool for destruction or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as a society, like, we're going to, you know, burn because of, you know, the way some games
video
are
games.
But I don't I just don't believe that, even though and it's not just because I'm a gamer. I just strongly believe that video games are not the only thing that influence our behaviors. They can, but I don't think it's the only thing. But that's my take on it.
Funny, because on Twitter we ran a poll, we asked this question, ran a poll with just yes or no. 58% of the vote said yes, video games do influence our behavior. 42% said no. And then Cody Bachman replied. He said, influence is an odd word. Does it make me do things? No. But does it call me in a certain circumstance? Yes. So, I mean, I kind of feel like that's got in the same context of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
For me, I believe games can influence our behavior. Do I think that they could potentially make people more aggressive? Possibly. But do I think that they will influence someone, you know, to go shoot up a town per se? I'm not, you know, 100% sure on that. I think there's a lot more that goes into, you know, someone's personality when it comes to violent behavior. Because when this question was asked, my first thought was Columbine.
Yeah.
Because they said that at the time, those kids were playing Halo or some kind of shooter.
Yeah.
And they were putting blame to that, which per se, I think that that could somewhat influence the behavior. But I think with the situation, I don't think that, you know, the video game was the reason that they were motivated to do what they did. I think that there was a lot more stuff that was built up within themselves, whether it be abuse when they were younger or
maybe something they faced at school.
Yeah, something that they dealt with at school. I think there's a lot more behind it than just the video games that influenced their behavior to do something like that. But then I personally thought about it for myself because when I was younger and I still skateboard. I used to skateboard a lot. And so before I went skateboarding, I would play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And it would kind of, you know, hype me and make me amped, you know, to go out and skateboard. Now, would I go blunt slide 20 stairs like I could in the game? No, but I would still do, you know, certain tricks and stuff. So that question is a difficult question to answer, to kind of just put a yes or a no to it, because there's so much that goes into it. Like, I don't know. It's a heavy question, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm not going to go and play something, you know, like a shoot 'em up game and be inspired to, you know, go shoot somebody or something. But at the same time, like you were saying, like playing something like Tony Hawk, you know, that can certainly inspire you to, you know, do more in that sport, you know, something like skateboarding, because, you know, that's realistic and things like that. But I think there's a lot more into a person's behavior that gets influenced. And I don't think it's just gaming. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, there's definitely more to their mentality than just the game. But I think, you know, I'll just leave it at that. There's definitely a lot more that is an influence to what people act out on.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's a great question, too, to ask.
Yeah, definitely probably the heaviest question that we've gotten. But... Yeah.
Shout out to Dale Tripp for those questions. Thank you very much. Because those are really good questions.
Yeah. Last question from Jesse Murnahan. I guess we got that on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. So have there been any gaming moments that have touched you or made you cry? And he mentioned personally, I think it was Final Fantasy X, the ending of that has had... was a tearjerker for him every time that he played through it. So what about you, Carrington?
So I've been thinking about this question. I've been thinking about it over and over and over again. I don't remember any games per se making me cry. I've come close for sure. Lost Odyssey, there was a point where I was playing it one time. There's one part that's really like pretty emotional, without getting like too deep into it or whatever. So the guy that you play as, he can live forever, and he discovers his daughter, and as soon as he discovers her, she dies, and then like it's pretty like emotional. But while I was like playing the game, my dad came in my room and started talking to me, so it snapped me out of the moment.
Just kind of just brought you back into reality.
Exactly
there.
So I wasn't close to crying, but it was like invoking like real heavy emotions. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of in recent gaming. Nothing that stands out, though.
Okay. I think when I read this question and thought about it, Valiant Hearts stood out to me.
Really? I started it, but I didn't finish it.
Oh, man, the ending. It's great. It's the direction of that game and how they brought emotions between all the protagonists was just touching. Yeah, it was, I don't know, it made my heart feeling heavy at the end of the game. And same with Unravel. I didn't really feel anything emotional, probably for like the first half of the game, mm-hmm. which stinks. Because when that game first came out, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. But after spending the week playing through it, I developed a love for the little Yarny to the point of making my own Yarny at home. I took time to to make my own Yarny. But by the end of the game, you know, I didn't cry, but I felt emotional for sure. So those, yeah, Valiant Hearts and Unravel, both kind of emotional games.
Yeah, fair enough. So I do think that games are starting to really not to the point where like you can tell like they're trying super hard, like all they're just trying too hard to just make me cry or something. But like I do think video games are getting better at telling stories and character development, I think. And as we continue to progress, I think. So here's another game that touched me. It's going to sound really weird, but Breath of the Wild. So the game itself, you can go through the entire game without watching cutscenes. Mm-hmm. In order to watch cutscenes, you have to discover Link's memories. And I sat down and I just found all the memories, and then I watched them in order. I didn't cry, I didn't tear up, but I mean it's pretty emotionally powerful though. Like I will say that for sure.
Put a warm feeling in your heart.
More like not despair and depressing.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. I'll have to check those out.
Whenever. Oh, for sure, because you really see like how things were before Ganon came, and then he comes, mm-hmm. and it's just like, whoa.
Utter chaos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the fact that as you play through the game, you realize, like, even though you interact with Link's friends that he made, they're all dead. Except, you know, but it's like, wow, you know? And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, it's really pretty emotional.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to play that game. One day I will play it.
I still highly recommend it. I think it is something that will be played. Like the way Ocarina of Time has been played, you know, over the years, like it really hasn't lost its touch. It may look outdated, but the game itself has not lost its touch. I think Breath of the Wild, we will give that same treatment as a gaming society.
Well, I'm excited to look into it. I think that's it. Do you have anything else to add to this?
I do not, except for that our next episode's our pre-E3 episode.
So keep an eye out for that, because there's going to be a lot of talk of what we think we want to see at E3 and a lot of predictions that aren't going to be fulfilled, probably.
But it'll be fun.
Yeah. So email us, realdudespod@gmail.com. Email us questions, thoughts, anything you want us to discuss on the show. Tweet at us at realdudes_pod. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We haven't been streaming as much lately, although we'd like to get back into it here.
Yeah, I have actually been really busy, but I do want to get back to streaming again.
Yeah. So what, Twitch at realdudespod, or I think it's realdudespodcast. I don't know, just look up realdudes on Twitch, and I'm sure you'll find us.
Oh, yeah, we pop up.
Yeah. So, other than that, everyone, have a great day, and thank you for listening.
Bye.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.